Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. During the coronavirus pandemic, we are worshiping exclusively online. This is a recording of our service. Thank you for joining us. Good morning and welcome to worship with Covenant Presbyterian Church on this Palm Sunday morning. I'm so glad that you are worshiping with us today. This service for Palm Sunday will follow our ordinary worship pattern with just a few adjustments. After the call to worship, I will read the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. After the prayers of the people and the invitation to an offering, we will share the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together. So I hope that you have prepared like I have with a small piece of bread, and a small amount of juice or wine or whatever other materials are available to you as we share in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together today. We also distributed, with the worship materials, we distributed a palm frond coloring page. We won't have an in-person palm procession today, of course, but you'll be invited to wave those palms as we sing our opening hymn together. If you don't have this palm, you've got these palms, and you are welcome to participate however you can. Another thing we missed as we were getting ready for Palm Sunday today was our annual Easter egg hunt. We usually have that Easter egg hunt on the day before Palm Sunday. And, of course, since we are not gathering in person, we are not doing Easter egg hunts in person. There will be an opportunity to participate in a virtual Easter egg hunt. Look for some details about that in the Covenant Corner email on Tuesday. While we worship together this morning, we will also have the opportunity to pray for each other and for the world. So to share prayer requests, I invite you to leave a comment on this live video on Facebook. Laura Schieber is, as always, monitoring those comments and will get the prayer requests to me by that time in the service. So please share your prayer requests as we gather ourselves for worship. I invite you to take a deep breath with me as we welcome God's presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. The restoration of all things is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom comes through suffering and rejection. Let us take up our cross and follow the Son of God. This is the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem from Mark chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. I invite you to get your palms ready or your palms ready for our processional hymn, "Hosanna, Loud Hosanna." Every Sunday we pour water into the baptismal font to remind us that the grace poured out on us in baptism is all we need in order to come into God's presence. God caused the one who didn't know sin to become sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Let us be reconciled to God, first silently and then with words. God, God of mercy. You sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Look, now is the right time. Look, now is the day of salvation. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven and reconciled to God. As beloved siblings, children of God, may the peace of Christ be with you. I have a show and tell for us today. It's the same image that was on the screen just before worship began. The title of this piece is The Road is Long, with thanks to Pauline Williamson, the artist who shared this for churches to use today on Palm Sunday. You can see the notes on today's worship for a link to that image. This image is doing something that Christian art often does, which is to tell lots of different parts of the story all at the same time. So this image tells all of Holy Week, all at once. You can see the crowd waving palms, you can see the crosses on a hillside, you can see the resurrection in the background. Something I love about this picture is the way so many details are packed into a visually really simple painting. So I invite you to spend some time with that painting and see what other details you can pick out that point to parts of this final week before Jesus' death. Holy Week is a complicated story. It's a story with joy and celebration and betrayal and anger and sadness and death. And sometimes it helps me to remember that it is all one story, that the entire story is all one movement in Jesus' life and God's relationship with this world. And, of course, it helps to remember that this story has the best surprise ending. But that's for next week. I'm so grateful for the gifts that William and Joyce are sharing with us as we worship remotely. And I'm grateful for all the gifts that our congregation and other congregations and people not affiliated with congregations are offering to their neighbors during this time. Thank you, William. Will you pray with me? God of power, Jesus opens the way for us to live in your kingdom. Give us now your Holy Spirit so we can hear his call and respond with service. For your service sets us free. Amen. Worship opened with that story from Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and the crowd celebrated. The stories we've shared for the last few weeks in worship have come from the beginning of that final week before Jesus' death. Right after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus began debating with religious leaders. He began telling stories that passed judgment on the central religious institution of the people. And he spoke words of caution and hope about the transformation of the whole world. Now, for the scripture lesson, we are close to that Passover festival for which Jesus has just ridden into Jerusalem. The Passover festival is a time when Jews, including Jesus, celebrate God's action to set the people free from slavery in Egypt. Jesus' death and resurrection will remind us in powerful ways of that story. Here we are close to the Passover festival in Mark chapter 14. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. This is the word of the Lord. One of the pieces of wisdom that I have encountered for living through a disruption at the scale of this pandemic is that it's okay to grieve the small losses. It's okay to grieve the small losses. When I was out of town last month, just before all this began, I missed my son's first band concert. I got to hear a recording of it that night because the magic of the internet was already with us at that time. But I was really looking forward to seeing his end-of-year concert in person, and all indications are that that won't be happening. Of all the things to mourn right now, that's a pretty small one, but it's a real one. It's okay to mourn the small losses. I've been grateful for people who have reminded us that it's okay. It's okay to feel the grief that we need to feel right now, even for those little things. That's actually wisdom that I sometimes share with families who are grieving a death in the family. That at some point down the road, at what seem like the strangest times, you may have tears that are triggered by somebody else ordering your mom's least favorite meal at McDonald's. And that's okay. You may miss the little opportunities to do things that you didn't even realize were significant. Maybe they weren't significant to you until you couldn't do them anymore. That's okay. I cried last week because our mission partners at the Iowa Baseball Camp for the Deaf had to cancel this year's camp out of concern for the safety of the kids and others who would be participating in that camp. And I cried last week because people I know lost loved ones to COVID-19 and to other causes. Both of those losses are real. Sometimes we compare losses against each other as if there's a limit on how many losses can matter at any given time, like the budget for grief is somehow limited. Sure, emotional energy is limited. There's nothing wrong with unplugging in order to rest and restore so that you can get up and continue on with this thing we call life. But sometimes we discount the grief that isn't the most significant loss we can picture, as if losses can be grouped as more significant or less significant. As if we're somehow in the pain Olympics and there are only three spots on the podium. Just like the other Olympics, those are postponed at least until next year. Grief is another form of love. And grief is no more limited than any other form of love. There is plenty to go around. Even if there were no other time for it, Holy Week invites us to grieve. It invites us to tell the story of Jesus' death before we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Because if we have not grieved the death, it's hard to know what the resurrection is really there for. Holy Week is a jarring story to read all together. It starts with this joyful crowd celebrating a conquering king and moves through Jesus' biting criticism of religious leaders, the religious leaders' suspicion and plotting. It moves through betrayal and trial and death as everything collapses under the weight of human sin. And in the middle, in the story we read this morning, a woman anoints Jesus with precious oil. Annual income kind of precious. That's how expensive this jar of oil was. This was an extravagant gift. And the disciples are offended. I can follow the logic of their offense, in fact. Jesus has been all about care for the poor. He has been all about selling everything we have, leaving behind everything we had accumulated, giving that to the poor so that we might come and follow him. And then here's this extravagant, wasteful act of anointing for Jesus. Surely, Jesus would have rather this woman invested her life savings in feeding the poor. It's simple economics. You have to get the best return on your investment, don't you? But Jesus knows that this gift is not about money. Money is a way of comparing value, comparing things against each other so that we can allocate scarce resources. But this anointing, this is not an economic move. This is an act of grief. Grief is not scarce. There's no comparing this woman's grief and love with anything or anyone else. There is no comparing an act of grief and love with anything else. When we respond to this pandemic as a society, there are many decisions that come from the reality of scarcity, that come from the reality of scarcity of medical equipment especially, where they are currently running out of medical equipment in New York City. It is critical and life-saving that we limit the spread of coronavirus, and we do that in a context of scarcity, certain kinds of scarcity. It's sobering to think that the decisions that we make can be measured in terms of the number of lives saved. That's why we stay at home. That's why we go to the trouble of worshiping electronically rather than in person. That's why we go to the trouble of disrupting all of these ordinary, everyday routines so that we can save lives together. And at the same time, we know, we are reminded constantly of those other ways of measuring. Money is still one of the most popular ways of measuring most anything. But that monetary way of measuring things is less true now than it perhaps ever was. As we look at, for instance, the pay scales that are offered to those jobs that are considered essential in the current shutdown, and we look at the ways that those who are paid the least have the least choice about whether to be out and exposing themselves and their families to this pandemic. It's critical for us to remember those who are most in need during this time. Now, often I would call the church essential. The church is essential. It's critical for us to share beauty and celebration and hope and grief as we can do together. And it is life-giving for us to share those things in person. But I'm also glad to suspend our in-person gatherings for as long as it takes so that we can ensure the safety of those who are most vulnerable. Even so, I grieve that loss. I grieve that loss differently, perhaps, than I would grieve the loss of lives, but as I'm saying, grief is not a scarce resource. When we grieve Jesus' death this week, we are grieving every other loss as well. In fact, it's Jesus' death that allows us to grieve every other loss. This year in particular, I'm grieving those deaths that we can't be there for, those deaths that we can't attend and hold some presence in the midst of because hospitals and care centers are locked down, because COVID-19 patients die in isolation with no one there with them. I would do a lot to prevent as many of those deaths as I can. I grieve and I call on Jesus' presence, especially in those moments, because Jesus also died alone. We'll tell that story on Thursday evening when we gather electronically for our Maundy Thursday service. Jesus died alone, abandoned by his disciples, isolated by the powers that put him to death. The Savior of the world knows loneliness at the very core of his being. And so I can call for Jesus' presence with others who are also alone. I can call for Jesus' presence with those who are alone, whether in hospitals or care centers or at home, because even there, Jesus is too. I believe Jesus is especially in those places where people are otherwise alone. And knowing Jesus' presence in that loneliness is part of what gives me the hope to grieve. That's part of what this woman with this precious ointment is testifying to. I give thanks for her boldness, for her clarity, for her precious act of grief. And I give thanks for every act of beauty that testifies to the gospel. Love and hope and tenderness are with us now and always. Let us pray. Loving God, as we enter into this week, when we mourn Jesus' death and anticipate Jesus' resurrection, give us the space to grieve. Give us the clarity to recognize the beauty that you are still bringing in this world, even in the midst of grieving, even as an act of grieving. And give us the courage to grieve with hope, with beauty, with love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our second hymn may be a new one to you. The tune, I hope, will be familiar to you. This is A Prophet Woman Broke a Jar. We come together this morning and we share the prayers that are with us, our joys and our concerns. We lift prayers for Anne McGowan. Anne's mother passed away last Sunday, And we pray for Anne and for her family as they grieve. We pray for Celise Koenigsdorf, who had open heart surgery last week. The surgery went well. Celise is the four-month-old daughter of a co-worker of Rhonda Barker. We pray for Charles Thompson, Bob Thompson's brother. Charles had had bypass surgery and has been released from the hospital. He is recovering well. We pray for Don Ross, who is a friend of Bob and Marlene Hiddle. Don is in the ICU with lung issues. We pray for family and friends of Mary Lou Strain, who passed away last week. We pray for 8-year-old Kinley DeGroat in Blank Children's Hospital with complications from 2 emergency surgeries. Kinley is the granddaughter of friends of Jean and Jerry Castor. We pray for the Iowa Baseball Camp for the Deaf, canceled this year due to COVID-19. They will return next year. We pray for Linda and Jason Hopkins, cousins of Sherry Wiley, my mother. Linda and Jason have returned safely home from Ghana, where they were serving in mission. We pray for families who have lost income due to COVID-19, its precautions, and all of its impacts on the world. And we pray for victims of domestic violence whose options are limited by those same stay-at-home precautions. We gather all these prayers together. We gather the prayers that are still in our hearts, and we lift them before God in prayer. Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For your church around the world, we ask new life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For all who carry out ministries in your church, we ask grace and wisdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For people who have accepted spiritual disciplines for Lent, we ask inspired discipleship. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For Christians in every land, we ask new unity in your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For Jews, Muslims, and people of other faiths, we ask your divine blessing. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For those who cannot believe, we ask your faithful love. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For governors and rulers of every land, we ask your guidance. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For people who suffer and sorrow, we ask your healing peace. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And for those we have lifted up by name today, Anne, Celise, Charles, Don, Mary Lou, Kinley, Linda, and Jason, and all these we lift up in our hearts. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God of love, as in Jesus Christ you gave yourself to us, so may we give ourselves to you, living according to your holy will. Keep our feet firmly in the way where Christ leads us. Make our mouths speak the truth that Christ teaches us. Fill our bodies with the life that is Christ within us. Amen. Jesus looks at us in love and says, "Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Every year, we dedicate the One Great Hour of Sharing special offering on Easter Sunday. In a world beset by disaster, hunger, and oppression, One Great Hour of Sharing is dedicated to aiding the millions of people who lack access to sustainable food sources, clean water, sanitation, education, and opportunity. Never has this been more important than in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Self-Development of People partners with community groups of low-income people by providing grants for many projects in the United States and globally. One such partner is We the People Detroit, which has prevented water shutoffs in a time when hygiene and sanitation are vital. PCUSA Special Offerings Director Bryce Wiebe underscores that these ministries exist because of who God is and who we are. In light of this pandemic, Bryce says, those reasons keep returning to me. We give because we know our God to be one who comes to a broken and fearful world, offering healing, help, and hope, and witnessing to the final triumph of love over death. As the church, we are called to join together and offer those same things. Though the earth should change, God is still God. We are still us. One Great Hour of Sharing is the largest single way that Presbyterians come together every year to work for a better world. Covenant and our mission partners need your support. You can give online at wdmcovenant.org/donate or mail your check to the church. Will you pray with me? O God, may our gifts be used to answer the needs of those who seek you, delivering them from their fears, listening to their cries for help, offering refuge to those who are searching for hope. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to the table. So I invite you to get that piece of bread and that small amount of juice or wine or whatever you have with you. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Presbyterian tradition teaches that Jesus is present with us through the act of sharing in this sacrament. Jesus is not bound to a specific place, specific materials, or the actions of a specific person. We believe that Christ is present with us by the Holy Spirit whenever and wherever we, the church, share this sacrament together. So the table you're using right now, that's no longer your table alone. It's part of Christ's table, and you are part of Christ's church. Come, church, to the table of grace. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You made us in your image, setting us in your world to love and serve you. When we turned away from you, you still turned toward us in love. Out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son among us to redeem us and to be the way to eternal life. Blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. As one of us, he knew our joys and sorrows. In him we see what you created us to be. Though blameless, he suffered willingly for our sin. Though innocent, he accepted death for the guilty. On the cross, he offered his life for the life of the world. By his suffering and death, He freed us from sin and death. Risen from the grave, he leads us to the joy of new life. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this cup from the gifts you have given us, and we celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be the body of Christ in and for the world. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when, with the redeemed of every time and place, we will feast with you at your table in glory. We pray in and with Christ, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the story that we celebrate together when we gather for communion, that we are celebrating right now as we gather for communion electronically. I invite you to lift that piece of bread and that cup, whatever kind of cup it is. And we will bless these elements together as we remember this story. On the night that is coming so soon, Maundy Thursday, when Jesus and his followers gathered for the Passover meal, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, Take, this is my body. And he took a cup. He gave thanks and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. I assure you that I won't drink wine again until that day when I drink it in a new way in God's kingdom. And so when we share this bread and this cup, we are proclaiming and grieving Christ's death. We are proclaiming and anticipating Christ's resurrection. We are living Christ's presence in the world until he comes again in glory. Beloved, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. O God, our help and our strength, you have fed us with this blessed food. Strengthen our faith, that through the death and resurrection of your Son, we may be led to salvation. For he is Lord now and forever. Amen. And our closing hymn this morning is Your Only Son. Thank you. I hope you will join us again on Maundy Thursday evening electronically as we share the rest of the story between this scene and next Sunday, as we gather to grieve, to give thanks, to share the sacrament of the Lord's Supper again, remembering the story when Jesus instituted it for us. And then I hope you will come back next week to worship electronically with us as we celebrate the real end of that story, which is the beginning of a whole new story. Beloved, all who want to follow Jesus must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. As we follow, may the kingdom of God be made real in our life and in our world. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.